Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Amen? We've been on a series called Unbreakable Strength Under Pressure. Amen? That's when we need it. We can have lots of strength, but if it's never needed, we never know how much we have. When we're under pressure, it is so much more. We're aware of it more. Amen? We're definitely aware. Under pressure, it's great to have strength. Amen? And so we saw in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, God said that he wants to do a new thing. And he said two parts in regards to the new thing. He says, I want to make a new road for you in the wilderness, and I want to make new rivers for you in the desert. And we found out the newness of life and taking new territory doesn't just happen by wishing or by accident, but three parts are required. It requires God, it requires his direction, and it requires action. So number one, it requires God. Number two, it requires his direction. Number three, it requires action. And so we've been talking about an action during this series to experience and enjoy this wonderful strength under pressure. Psalm 118, verses 24 and verse 21 says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And it is the day of salvation. What kind of day is it? Well, it's the day of salvation. And we saw in Psalm 67, verses 5 and 6, that praising God brings increase and blessing in our life. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices. And so if we find ourselves beginning to whine and complain and to just feel bad about ourselves and the situation and circumstance, it's a clue that we have stepped out or away from the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith doesn't beg, the spirit of faith doesn't whine and complain. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices. Amen. So that would be like the gas gauge in our car, right? When you look at the gas gauge just to find out where you are in regards to how much gas we got. And so sometimes this is just a gauge for us. You know, how much praising and rejoicing is going on in our life just lets us know how much of the spirit of faith we're functioning and operating in. It's just a gauge where we can go, oh, I think we need to top up. We need to fill up a little bit. Amen. We can fill up. Glory to God. So rejoicing and praise are faith's secret weapons to live unbreakable and possess strength under pressure. So Nehemiah 8:10 is kind of our theme scripture. Nehemiah 8:10 says this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength in every area. In every area. Hallelujah. It will produce strength in every area. So we were talking about how to respond under pressure, and you can watch that on our YouTube channel, Jeff Lowe Ministries YouTube channel, the videos there from a couple weeks ago. And then last week we began to talk about the praise cure. Remember that, the praise cure? And we talked about that Abraham, what? Was strong in faith. Why? Because he was giving glory to God. He was strong in faith because he was giving glory to God. And so our strength in faith is a result also of our giving glory to God, our praising and glorifying him. And then we saw a merry heart does good like medicine. Amen. So without joy, the opposite was true. Proverbs 17:22 says, no joy dries the bones and makes us weak. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's like medicine. Strengthens, encourages us. Amen? It brings healing and health and wholeness. Then we talked about the praise cure. Remember what the lady who had the smallpox? She broke out in smallpox, and she asked the Lord what she should do, and he said, I want you to praise me for my faithfulness to my word. And remember the balance? And she said that the praise side was way up because she hadn't been praising much, and the testing or the smallpox, you know, her body was covered in smallpox, and so that was really heavy. And so the Lord said, listen, I want you to praise me because of my faithfulness to my word. And so, because she was standing on his word for protection and safety from it, because, I mean, there was no vaccination. There was that hadn't happened yet. This is way back in the day. And so she was helping and she was serving and she was working with people in the hospital or this area and helping people that had smallpox. And then so she got it. So she began to praise him and 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 praise him, praise him. 2 days and nights. She praised him and praised him and praised him and praised him and praised him until, actually maybe even more than that, but she praised him and praised him and praised him until the praise basket was full. And it says that the temptation or the testing or the trial basket was lifted up in the air, and then she was completely healed. And doctor said that she would have scars, that she'd be scarred for the rest of her life. But when God healed her, there wasn't a scar to be found on her. Amen. Isn't that good news? It's just like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's the names their mothers gave them. But the king is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar gave them other names from Babylon, called them Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were in the fire. They came out of the fire and they did not smell like smoke, right? They weren't burnt and they didn't smell like smoke. That's the same idea. No scars. So whatever we're going through, we can expect to come out without smelling like smoke. We can expect to come out without any scars. Amen? We can expect to come out well. Matter of fact, better off. Better off. Hallelujah. Because what a testimony. Amen? See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and there was a testimony. But not only a testimony, now instead of Nebuchadnezzar being real mad at him and throw him in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar promoted them. Isn't that funny? Got promotion. Jesus went through the wilderness, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. He passed the test, and he came out, and the Bible says he came out in the power of the Spirit, and his fame spread abroad. Don't let the temptation, test, and trial that's coming against you knock you down. Be unbreakable. Receive and be strengthened under pressure so you can be promoted. So you can come out on the other side better off than you went in. Amen? Hallelujah. The devil wants to knock us out. The God wants to promote us. Right? So let's let God promote us by our doing our part, amen, so he can promote us. And let's just continue to discourage the devil. I want to knock him out. Didn't do it this time. Let's just keep the devil discouraged. And keep our Father in heaven. Keep him happy. Amen. Very pleased. What did he say about Jesus? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. That's what we want to. Let's just keep pleasing our Father. Amen. Glory to God. So, let's see. Remember I told you the story about Norval Hayes and the teacher that came to him, and she had her liver was basically, she had a death sentence because her liver was basically dead. And the only way to live was she needed a new liver. She said, can you help? Her and her husband came and said, can you help? And he said, yes. And what we read the scripture, Romans 10, verses 12 to 13, God said, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so the question was raised, what are you calling him? Remember, she spent 2 hours a night calling him her healer, calling him her liver maker. There's only one person who has new livers. God's got storage houses in heaven with new livers. And so she's walking around her kitchen table 2 hours a night. She said, after 8 months, she said, I felt something going on. And I point here because I don't know where my liver is. I mean, it's probably between my knees and my shoulders somewhere. So, but, you know, so I just, wherever the liver is. You know, so it's in here somewhere. And so she said, I felt something. I felt something. Something going on at the 8th month. But she just continued to do 2 hours a night for another 4 months. And so at the 1 year mark, she went to the doctor and he said, you got a new liver. Woo! Yeah, that's what she was expecting. That's what she was calling God. Amen? He's rich to those who call upon him. So what are we calling him? Hallelujah. It's important for us to call him. So now let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, I want to talk about expressions of joy. Expressions of joy. I want to go through a few expressions, but first of all, I want to read this portion of Scripture to kind of set things off again for us, set us up. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So we will means it's a choice. It's our choice. It's not something that someone can do for us. We need to do it for ourselves. And then we will rejoice. We'll rejoice. We will. So we're choosing to do something. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And what kind of day is it? Well, if we go up to verse 21, he lets us know what he's talking about and the context of this statement. He says, for I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. So what kind of day is it? This is the day. Well, what kind of a day is it? It's the day of salvation. It's the day of salvation. Now, the word salvation does not just mean going to heaven. Right? Sometimes we have this idea because it's been taught so much that come forward and get saved, that salvation just means being born again and going to heaven. Well, it means a lot more than that, right? The word salvation means deliverance. So that's what being born again is. We've been delivered out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of light. Amen. So we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And so this is what deliverance, preservation, safety, healing, health, wholeness, prosperity, victory. And I like this one. I haven't necessarily focused on this one until I started teaching. Jesus is our avenger. That's the word avenge. Avenge. All of a sudden, I began to see afresh and anew. This is part of the Hebrew and the Greek word for salvation includes the word avenge. In other words, Jesus is our avenger. He's our savior. He's protecting and defending us. He's fighting for us. Amen? Vindication is what he wants to do for us. We've been standing on the word, speaking the word, declaring the word, whatever you've been standing on, whatever you've been believing God for, he wants to vindicate you. Amen? He's our avenger. Scripture says numerous times, God loves justice. He loves justice. Matter of fact, the scripture says this. God says this, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Amen? Vengeance is not yours or mine, but vengeance is his. Because he's our avenger. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. So we fight the good fight of faith, and he fights the battle. Jesus has already won the victory for us, and we just take our place and enforce that victory. Amen? So, expressions of joy. I will rejoice because this is the day of salvation. It's a day of healing. It's a day of deliverance. It's a day of preservation. It's a day of prosperity. It's a day of victory. Hallelujah. When? Now. Today. Now, today. Did you know what? And that's from Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, now, today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now, today. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Amen? Today. Now, today. Now, today. Does that mean this within this 24 hours? Not necessarily. Through faith and patience, we receive the promise, but it's always going to be now, today. What does that mean? The moment we step into tomorrow, it's today. We're always living in today. We're always living in now. And so we just constantly rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because today's the day of salvation. And when we get into tomorrow, it's today. And when we get into the 23rd of this month, it's today. We're always in today. So we just keep rejoicing today because why? We believe we receive. Now, we might have prayed back here on a specific day, calendar day. I believe that I receive. And we shall have. When? Now, today. Now, today. We're always living in now, today. It's always, it has to happen now, today. Now, today. Whatever day on the calendar it becomes, it's now, today. Amen? So don't get discouraged if it didn't happen last week. Because it's now, today. Amen? So we rejoice. We just choose to rejoice every day. This is the day the Lord did. It's the day of salvation. Now, today. When's it going to happen? Now, today. Now, today. Isn't that good news? And so every morning, don't choose to rejoice if you see something happen. Just choose to rejoice because you believe what God said. Let's choose to rejoice because we just believe what He said. Lord, I believe what You said, and so I rejoice. So every morning I just get, Lord, this is the day You've made. And I rejoice. The word rejoice means to jump up and down, spin around. And so I rejoice. Lord, I want to thank You. I want to thank You. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, for whatever it is. Hallelujah. Our house. Looking for a house. Looking for a house. Thank You, Lord, for a house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Remember I told you about my story about my finger? That's what I would do. Woo, I want to thank You. I speak healing, health, life to my finger. Full freedom of motion. Full freedom of motion. Hallelujah. Talk to it. Talk to it. And then I would rejoice. Every day. I believe I received. What? Now, today. Now, today. Now, today is my day of healing. Woo-wee. And over the process of time, I figured it was like 6 months or something like that. And all of a sudden, I didn't even know it was healed until a couple days later, I think. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, hey, I can do that. Oh, I can do it. There's no pain. Full freedom of motion. I can get my ring back on again. Woo! Yeah, you know? So it's hallelujah. Good news. So what does the word rejoice mean? The word rejoice means to spin or jump around for joy. It means joyful and triumphant. Hallelujah. Triumphant means winning. It's victory. Amen? Hallelujah. We cannot separate rejoicing from winning. We cannot separate winning from rejoicing. If we want to win, we must rejoice. We rejoice, it's going to position us to win, to triumph, to experience the victory. Amen? Hallelujah. It's literally, that's what the word means. It's translated that way. It can be translated all these ways. So I will rejoice and be glad. The word be glad means to be gleeful, to be merry-hearted, to be joyful, rejoicing. It means to brighten up and to cheer up. So if we find ourselves where we're not very bright and we're not very cheerful, there's this encouragement to brighten up and to cheer up, to be glad. Why? Because this is the day the Lord has made. So we make a choice to. You know, it doesn't mean we have to, it doesn't mean that we're always going to be rejoicing and glad. Right? I will means, you know, I might just not feel like it today. I might not feel like it under the situation and the circumstance. I just might not feel like it. But I make a choice to rejoice in God. I make a choice to act this way. And the feelings come back again. Right? If we just wait for the feelings, it could be a very depressing life. Sometimes we have to make an action and the feelings come afterwards. Right? So I will rejoice and be glad. And then Psalm 16, verse 11. Let's go back to Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's showing us a path of life, not a path of death, but a path of life. And in this path of life, literally at his right hand, in this path of life that we get to walk on, see, it's a choice. We get to. You don't have to. We don't have to walk on the path of life, but we get to. Amen? He says, I've made it available. I'm going to show you the path of life. So if you want to, you can walk on it. And he said, at my right hand, there are pleasures evermore. If we want to be pleased, if we want to be pleased in life and walking on this path of life and enjoy ourselves, he says, here's the key, right in the sandwich in the middle of these two. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. So as we're walking on the path, we're walking with him. In his presence is fullness of joy. He says, at my right hand, there's pleasures evermore. So it's just in his presence is fullness of joy while we're on the path and enjoying life. Amen? In his presence is fullness of joy. Glory to God. So let's go ahead and look at some expressions. These are not all the expressions. Remember Luke chapter 18, verse 7, we talked about the shout of faith and praise. Remember that? She cried out. God said, Jesus said that God will avenge her. She cried out for justice. And Jesus said, did you hear what the unjust judge says? The unjust judge said, I will avenge her. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. And so for us, Jesus said, God will avenge us. God will avenge his children. He will avenge us speedily. But he said that this is all about faith. And he said, verse 8, he said, those who cry out to him, and the word cry means to shout, right? It's not crying. It's not begging. It's not a discouraging thing. It's the cry or the shout of faith and praise. So this is the first expression I want to talk about, the shout of faith and praise. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Go back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. We want to talk about shout. A shout of faith and praise. Joshua chapter 6, starting in verse 1, says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. They had locked the doors. They closed the windows. I mean, the place was locked up. It was shut down. Why? Because they were terrified of the children of Israel. They were on the other side of the river, and they heard what happened on the other side of the river, and then somehow they made it through the river, and now they're on this side of the river. They're terrified. They're coming. They're terrified. That's what Rahab told the spies. We have been terrified, literally dismayed. Their hearts had melted. They'd already basically given up. Children of Israel made it. Jericho is shut up. They're getting close. It's locked down because of the children of Israel being out there. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of you men of all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. The seventh day, though, the priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpet. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So, they're to do what? They're to shout. And the shout will cause what? The walls to fall down. And then you can go in. So for us, there's this shout of faith and praise. And the shout of faith and praise is going to cause what? Walls to come down, or yeah, it is the victorious result. Walls to come down, things to change, doors to open. So why? So we can go in, so we can go up, so we can move forward. Amen? The shout of faith and praise. So then verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Interesting. He said, "Shout, because the Lord has given you the city." They don't even have it yet. So that lets us know that this is a shout of faith and praise. Amen? Because it's a shout that happened before they experienced what they wanted. It's a shout of faith. Amen? They did it before. They did it before believing that it was going to happen. Amen? So it's the same with us. We get to shout before. The shout of faith and praise. We get to shout before. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen? Before, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Hallelujah. The Lord has given us a city. The Lord has given you the healing. The Lord has given you the prosperity. The Lord has given you the deliverance. The Lord has given you the wisdom. The Lord has given you the peace. The Lord has given you the answer. Amen? Shout, because the Lord has given you what He has promised in His Word. Glory to God. Verse 20. So the people shouted with the priests when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Hallelujah. We can take the great and precious promises of God for ourselves, but it begins with a shout of faith and praise. Amen? We can take it. We can take what's ours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. So just go next door. Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter 6. Another shout. Verse 11. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the Tiberinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, if the Lord is with us, if the Lord is with us, why? Why has all this happened to us? And where are his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did it not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' The angel said, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And he said, 'Yeah, if he's with us.' The angel said, 'I'm with you. The Lord's with you.' And he said, 'Yeah, well, if he's with us.'" He didn't really even hear what the angel said. He said, "I'm with you, you mighty man of valor." And he said, "Well, if he's with us, why, where, but?" And they're not bad questions. I mean, they're actually real questions. They're good questions, but sometimes we can get so caught up in the questions that we miss what the Lord is saying to us. He said, "I'm with you." "Yeah, but why? What about? You don't understand. If..." See, we can get so caught up focusing on our situation and circumstances that we can miss out on what he just said to us. He said, I am with you. You mighty man of valor. So the ifs, the whats, see, our experience is our experience. Right? It's not that we're not denying our experience. It's just sort of, this is kind of the way it is, Lord. This is what I've experienced. This is kind of where we are. But that's why he shows up and says, I'm with you, you mighty man of valor. I'm with you. You're healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm with you. You're rich and wealthy and everything. I'm with you. I'm liberally supplying everything you need, everything you want, all of your business and income according to my riches and glory by the anointing of Jesus. I'm with you. Ask for wisdom and I will liberally give you wisdom. I'm with you. Yeah, but, let's not focus on the yeah, buts. All right, I heard someone say we need to get our butt out of the way. Right? Get our butt out of the way. Yeah, but. No, get the butt out of the way. And it's fine. What did you say? This is what you said. So when the devil says that ain't going to happen, you go, you use your yeah, but to the devil. Yeah, but God said. Right? That's what Jesus said. The devil said, and Jesus said, yeah, but it is written. Right? See, you put your butt in with the devil, but not with God. Devil says something, you go, yeah, but God said. I choose to believe what God said. Amen? We choose to believe what God said. Hallelujah. So he goes on, and then we see in verse 14 that the Lord turned to him and said, go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And he said to him, Oh Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family's house. He's got an identity issue. God said, I'm with you, you mighty man of valor, and you will save Israel. I am sending you. And he goes, ay, 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 right? He had an excuse for everything. He had an identity issue. And the Lord said to him, last time, said, surely, if you want to focus on some eyes, let me give you an eye. I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. If you're going to focus on an eye, he said, focus on me. God said, focus on me. I'm the eye that's with you. I'm the eye that's for you. I'm the eye. Amen? Focus on me. And so now if we jump over to chapter 7, starting in verse 1, says that Gideon and all the people, okay, so we back up, back chapter 6, verse 35 says this, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him, and he also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came to meet them, and they came up to meet them. And so chapter 7, verse 1 says that Gideon and all the people, all these people that gathered to him, they were with him. They rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel, or they claim, glory for themselves, saying, my hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. And Gideon's going, way to go, God. That was bright. Two-thirds of the group just left. And God says, yeah, verse 4. Said, Gideon, listen, the people are still too many. What do you mean there's too many? Yeah, they're just too many. They're too many. So I want you to go down to the river. and I need you to get a drink. Well, that's a good idea. Let's go get a drink. And then we see in verse 7, it says, then the Lord said to Gideon, by 300, where did these 300 come from? Well, he said, I want you to separate the drinkers into two groups. There's going to be the one group that goes down and they just basically scoop up water and they drink it out of their hand. And there's going to be another group that just sticks their face in the water and drinks. So I want you to separate them. I want you to go the hand drinkers over there and the stick your face in the water drinkers over there. And he said, now those stick your face in the water drinkers, say goodbye to them, because I'm going to use these guys that scooped up the water in their hand and just kind of drank out of the hand. See, because they're aware. Their heads are up. They're aware of their surroundings and so on and so forth. And so God says in verse 7, now the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who have lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Now, 300. Yeah, that's. Lord, what are you doing? Verse 16. So Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies, 100, 100, 100. And he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. So that's like a flashlight and a container somehow. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you are to blow the trumpets on every side, the whole camp, and say, the sword of the Lord of Gideon. Say. Now the word say, in other words, you can't shout without saying, right? You open it, we're opening our mouth. So that's what this is going to be our shout. I want you to say something. I want you to shout something. Okay? And so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and they held the torches, or their flashlights, their lights, in their left hand, and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and they cried. Right? So once again, this is the cry, or this is the shout of faith and praise. It's a shout of faith and praise. So they cried, or they shouted, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place and all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Then the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man a man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled, and they off they went. And so it created such confusion, they started killing one another and ran away. So what do we see? What do we see here? Gideon's call was to bring deliverance and freedom to his people. They went from 32,000 down to 10,000 and reduced more to 300. And they shouted. They shouted the sword of the Lord and Gideon. There was a shout. The shout of faith brought deliverance from the enemy and victory in their lives. So let's not just see this as a story way back in the day. Let's see this and just learn from the example that's being set before us. We can shout the shout of faith and praise. And we too can experience deliverance. It'll bring deliverance in our life. And it will bring victory in our life. Amen? It's the same shout of faith and praise, because it's the same God that our faith is in. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He's for us. He's with us. He's living big on the inside of us. The shout of faith and praise will make the same connection today that it did hundreds and thousands of years ago. Amen? Whoo! Glory to God. Expression number two. Let's go to Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Where are we? Oh, Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Job. Job is before Psalms. I was after, all right. Wasn't there. Job chapter 8, verse 21, says this. He will yet fill my mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. Lord, fill our mouth with laughter and with rejoicing. The word rejoicing means shouts of joy. Isn't that interesting? The word rejoicing right there also can be translated from the Hebrew, shouts of joy. Huh? So we just connected these two expressions of rejoicing together. He will fill my mouth with laughter and rejoicing, shouts of joy. Now I'm going to quickly go through a few scriptures. So let's go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. I remember when Brother Hagin would start reading Psalm 126, we knew we were in for a Holy Ghost meeting. Psalm 126 says, "When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. They were delivered." They brought the captives back. That's talking about deliverance. They were delivered. They were captive, and now they're no longer captive. Amen. They were bound, and they're no longer bound. They were slaves, and they're no longer slaves. Hallelujah. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed it. It just seemed like a dream. I had to pinch myself to see if it was real. Sure enough, it's real. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, the nations said something. What did the nations say? The Lord has done great things for them. Sure enough, verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. Amen? Say, the Lord has done great things for us. Amen. Glory to God. And we are glad. Amen. We're not sad. We're glad. We're not mad. We're glad. Hallelujah. The Lord has done great things for us, and we're glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. I'm talking about rivers. Amen. Rivers in the desert. This is what we're talking about. Rivers in the desert. Glory to God. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. What do we say? That word reap means harvest and cut down. How do we reap? How do we harvest? How do we cut down and take take our harvest? With joy. Joy is the cutting down and the reaping tool. It's the harvesting tool. It's the equipment we use for harvesting. Joy, joy. And those who continually go forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. So now we're talking about sowing. We're talking about seed sowing. We're talking about giving. What about those who are sowing seed? Doubtless they shall come again with rejoicing. The word come again means to bring, to cause, to come, to get, to enter, to bring to pass, and to take in. How do we bring again? How do we cause to come to us? How do we get and take in our harvest with rejoicing? Surely, doubtless, you will come, you will take in, you'll cause to come to pass with rejoicing. Rejoicing. Rejoicing is our reaping tool. Glory to God. Bringing his sheaves with him. What do we see here? Then our mouths was filled with laughter and singing. Right? Verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter and singing. Mouths filled with laughter. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, all the way back to the beginning there. Psalm chapter 2 says this. Psalm chapter 2, verse 4. 2, verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. So we're talking about God. God laughs. The Lord shall hold them in derision. This is the enemy and his camp. The Lord laughs. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and he holds them in derision. The word derision can be translated this way, to speak in unintelligibly and to mock them. God laughs at the devil. God laughs at the enemy, mocking him. Ha, 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 ha. Remember Elijah mocked at the prophets of Baal. He laughed and made fun of them, laughing. God laughs. He laughs and makes fun of the enemy. But he also laughs. His laughter does something. When God laughs, it causes the enemy to speak unintelligibly. In other words, it completely messes up their plans. When God laughs, he messes up the enemy's plans. They've got this great plan, but then now they can't even speak straight. They can't even think straight. They can't even walk straight. I mean, it's just everything is, You know, Pharaoh had this great plan, and we'll just go drive through the middle of the sea to get the Israelites back, and all the wheels start falling off their chariots. These are not old rent-me chariots. These are not, no. These are well-serviced. These are wheels started falling off. Bonk, bonk, bonk. What's going on here?
God's laughing and he's messing with the enemy. Holds them in derision.
Now let's go ahead and go to 37. Psalm 37, 13. Psalm 37, 13 says this. The Lord laughs at him. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The Lord laughs at him. Because he sees his day is coming. So what do I want us to see here? The Lord fills our mouth with laughter. He fills our mouth with laughter and singing because he laughs. God laughs. He laughs because he enjoys us, but he also laughs at the enemy. And it just messes up the enemy's plans. So we can act like our father, and we can laugh and mess up the enemy's plans in our life. Amen. We can laugh because we're enjoying life. We can laugh because God is good. Amen. And we go to Genesis chapter 21, verse 6. Genesis 21, verse 6. You know, for decades, Sarah has been barren. Abraham's been talking to her about having a baby. God's got us. We're going to have a baby. And she's thinking, you are crazy. We're trying this, and it's been no. And then all of a sudden, she is 89. Abraham is 99. Here we are. Genesis 21, if I get in the right chapter here. 21, verse 6. Abraham, verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. God can make us laugh. He can stir up laughter on the inside of us. Amen? We may not feel like laughing, but he can begin to stir something on the inside of us, and we have to yield to that. We might not feel like it, but if we yield to that, it'll bring deliverance and freedom. We laugh before, and we laugh after the victory results. It's not just enough to laugh after, but we can laugh before. That's the faith part. So just like we have the shout of faith and praise, we can have a laugh of faith. We can laugh before. Why? Because we believe God. Amen? And we can laugh after because it's just, we're experiencing it. This is good. Amen? We laugh at the enemy and because of the goodness of God. So we laugh, we can laugh at the enemy, and we can laugh because of the goodness of God. We're convinced of the goodness of God for us. Amen? And then, so a laugh of faith, just like the shout of faith. Laughter is an expression of joy and gladness. I remember just after we were married, we were about to move, and that whole plan got shut down. And there was a Saturday. We began speaking and declaring the word of God. We just made it to a point we were going to pray. We're praying, we're in bed, and it was Saturday morning, and we're praying, speaking the word of God, And I could sense this laughter beginning to stir, and I had to yield to it. And I yielded to it, laughed for about 45 to 60 minutes. Matthew's in his bedroom, and he slid a note under the door saying, what are you laughing at? Audrey slid it back under. We're laughing at the devil. And I think he slid it back in again. 15, 20 minutes later, whatever. You're still laughing or something like that, whatever it was. But I just began to yield to it. Laughed for 45 to 60 minutes. Hallelujah. And the Lord took us, taking care of us. And as we look back and kind of can see now 2020 vision, we can see how he's taken $8,000 and turned it into $180,000. how he's taken care of us. Let's go now to the last expression I want to get into. Acts chapter 2. We got 10 minutes. We got 9 minutes. Acts chapter 2 and verse 13 says this. Acts 2:13. And others mocked, saying, "They are full of new wine." Why? Well, verse 2 says, chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues like fire. There was this whole fire, not a big flame, no, a whole fire with many tongues. It was a fire. Filled the room. Appeared to them, divided tongues, just like fire, and it sat or settled upon each of them. All of a sudden, they were clothed and cloaked. So they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Baptized means to be dunked. It means to be immersed. They were literally clothed and cloaked in fire. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And people said, they're drunk. They began to mock them and say they're drunk. Make fun of them because they're drunk. So why? Why would they say they were drunk? Well, because they were acting drunk. Right? They were laughing. They were joyful. They were shouting. They were staggering. They were speaking, and they were all these foreigners were in town, and they could hear them speaking the wonderful works of God in their own language. And they're saying, "How do they know these languages? Because they're all locals." Well, you know, when we hear someone speak in Chinese at the mall, we don't think, "Hey, you're drunk," right? So it's more than just hearing a foreign language. There was a lot more going on. The Apostle Paul said, or Peter said this, verse 15, "These are not drunk as you suppose." So they're drunk, but they're not drunk like you think. Why? Because it's early in the morning. Since it's the third hour of the day. But this is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. This is the beginning of that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, and all my men servants and all my maid servants, on my male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, they were drunk. They were drunk. Just write this down. Write this down and read it at home. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39. Jesus at the feast said, "Everyone who thirsts, come to me and drink." Say, "Come to me and drink." Come to me and drink. And the Bible says he said that. He said, "And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water." And he was saying that, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. That they would receive because they hadn't received him yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So he's saying, "I'm talking to about the Holy Spirit. Those who are thirsty, come to me and drink." Notice he didn't say, "Come to me and think." Come to me and drink. Okay, so how do we drink? How do we drink? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. 5 minutes. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 15. "So see then that you walk circumspectly." That means accurately. But the Amplified says it this way: "Live purposefully and worthily." See that you walk and live purposefully. It's very important that we're purposeful and intentional in our life. See, then you walk circumspectly or live purposefully, not as fools, but as wise. So wise are purposeful, fools are not. Redeeming the time because the days are evil, or there is an evil effect or an evil influence in our days, right? The world, we live in a world that has an evil influence, right? There's just an evil, a wicked influence. And so he says it's very important that we redeem the time, or that we make wise purchases with our time, with our season, and with the opportunities. The word time can be translated that. Season and opportunities. Why? Because the days are evil. And because the days are evil, or there's an evil influence, that if we just go upstream, if we just go downstream with the world, it's going to mess things up. So we have to go upstream. We need to make wise purchases with our time, with our opportunities, and this is called living purposefully and intentional. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise. The unwise means thoughtless, foolish, and vague. Thoughtless, foolish, and vague. Right? So the opposite of being intentional and purposeful is thoughtless, foolish, and vague. Don't do that. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. So this is what God has for us. Now verse 18 is where I want to get to here. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or extremely bad, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's talking about two opposites. Don't be drunk or filled with alcohol, which is extremely bad. But I want you to be drunk and filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he said, I want you to come to me and drink. How do we drink? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. I want you to be filled and drunk with the Holy Spirit. How do we drink to be filled and drunk with the Holy Spirit? Verse 19 says this, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Amen? This is how it happens. We speak to ourselves, and that's how I laugh for 45 minutes to 60 minutes. I was speaking the word, and it began to stir up, and I yielded to it, began to laugh. So, Nehemiah 8:10 once again says this, what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Amen? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. In closing, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Amplified, Acts 3:19, amplified, says this. So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, and wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. Expressions of joy, shouting, laughter, being filled with the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Refreshing, revived, cooled off, and recover. And we will pick up here next week. But these are expressions of joy to help us to rejoice and be glad. Amen? To see the walls fall, to see the doors open, to see deliverance and freedom in our lives. Amen? Glory to God.